We'll wish everybody a good evening and glad we're all here. And if you're in our radio listening audience, we're glad that you're spending your evening with us. And we're glad to have you. Our first number tonight will be number... Number 348, Jesus is all the world to me. Number 348.
Jesus is all the world to me, my life, my joy, my all. He is my strength from day to day, without him I would fall. When I am sad, to him I go, no other one can cheer me so. When I am sad, he makes me glad.
Turn back one page and we'll do number 346. And the name of that song is It Won't Be Very Long. Number 346, It Won't Be Very Long.
It won't be very long till this short life shall end. It won't be very long till Jesus shall descend. And in the dead in Christ, yonder in the skies, it won't be very long, it won't be very long, till Jesus shall appear. This day is drawing near, will you be ready then, to meet the ransom throng? You're ready for that day, it won't be very long.
get ready for that day. It won't be very long. It won't be very long till earth shall pass away. It won't be very long till works of men decay. But Jesus has prepared a happy dwelling place for all who look above and trust his matchless grace. It won't be very long. It won't be very long till Jesus shall appear. That day is drawing near. Will you be ready then to meet the ransom call? Get ready for that day. It won't be very long.
If you would, please mark number 179 in your songbooks. This will be the song of invitation, the song of encouragement, number 179, God is calling the prodigal. Prodigal. And then after you've marked that song, please turn to number 396. And this will be the song before we have a prayer. And after this song, Brother Don will lead our minds in prayer. And then after that, we'll have our classes. So we'll have a song, a prayer, and then we'll go to our classes. And the name of the song is Lift Him Up, number 396.
How to reach the masses, men of every word. For an answer, Jesus gave a key. And if I be lifted up, will draw all men unto me. Lift him up, lift him up, till he speaks from eternity. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. Oh, the world is hungry for the living bread. Lift the Savior up for them to see. Trust him and do not doubt the words that he said. I'll draw all men unto me.
Lift him up, lift him up,
still he speaks from eternity. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me.
Don't exalt the preacher, don't exalt the pew. Preach the gospel, simple, full, and free. Prove him, and you will find the cross, this is true. I'll draw all men unto me. Lift him up,
let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we are so thankful for our opportunity to be here tonight. We're thankful for the so many blessings that you share with us. Father, we're especially thankful for your Son who died on that cross to give us a chance to be in heaven with you. Father, let us do the right things and listen and learn so that way we can be there. Father, we are especially hopeful that you will touch those that are of our number that are not feeling their best. We're thinking of Dorothy Wall right now. Please continue to be with her, help her to get over the nausea and the problems that she's having. Father, we're thinking about Pearl. She has had problems off and on. We pray that you will continue to be with her. Mike Porter has also had issues and still dealing with heart problems. Father, there are so many that are in need from our congregation. We pray that you will touch them and help them to be comfortable and heal if it be your will. Father, we have many opportunities in our day that we sometimes don't think about taking advantage of. There are those out there that need to hear your word, and we have an obligation to help bring that word to them. Father, help us to be brave enough. Help us to be there when that time arises and do the things that we need to do. Help us to listen to our services tonight as we and every night, so that way we can gain additional knowledge to help us along. Father, we pray that the world that we live in will learn to be peaceful. We still have a planet that does not know peace and love like it should. We pray that you will touch those leaders, help them to make decisions that affect all the people and not just themselves. Father, please look over our congregation. Help us to do the things that we need to do. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Going to do this. How many have not had where it says Romans chapter 2, God's righteous judgment on that page? Raise your hand. Okay.
I don't fall down.
Yeah, snag my foot there.
We'll go down.
Oh, you need one too?
No,
I got one. Okay. Let's see here. Yep, I do.
Me too.
Two of what else?
Two of them over there.
Yep. This one? Well, trying to be more organized, but sometimes that even is more busy. Okay, of course you could open your Bibles up to Romans chapter 2 if you want to use your own Bibles. That's always good. What I've done here with this study, as you can see, I've kind of broken it down verse by verse and sometimes thought by thought. It helps me. You don't need to do that for yourself if you don't want to. You can. And then I'm reading, of course, using from the New King James Bible. So that's the translation this is coming from. We actually read through, I think, verse 6 on this page. But I think what we're going to do, I'm going to go back to verse 5 because it's where the sentence begins, and I'm going to read down through the end of this first page here. So 5 through 8. But accordance with your hardness and your impotent, unrepenting heart, you are treasuring up for yourselves wrath in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to each one according to his deeds. Eternal life to those who, by patient continuance in doing good, seek for glory, honor, and immortality. But to those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation, wrath, and tribulation. On every soul of man who does evil, of the first Jew first and also of the Greek. Okay. I think one of the things that we need to notice and realize as we look at Romans chapter 2 here and on into chapter 3 actually, that Paul is talking mostly to the Jews here about how they are not superior to the Gentiles, that they all need Christ is what the main message is. And he goes into great detail and challenging the Jews to look at their lives. Now, of course, we're not dealing here with us, Jews and Gentiles, right? So I want us to look at this from a point of view that we don't fit every category, of course, that the Jews do. But as a Christian, as a church, how do we look at people? How do we see people? How do we see ourselves in relationship to God? And so he's challenging the people here all the way through these chapters. Of course, he's talking to them that they needed to repent, that they needed to turn back to God. If they didn't, they're not going to escape judgment. Verse 6, who will render to each one according to his deeds. And we talked about this last time, kind of at the end of class, that what it meant to really, what it was the deeds that we need to do. And of course, as a Christian, we need to be obedient to Christ in what we do to come to Christ. And then we also need to be doing the good deeds that God would call each Christian to do and to be. And then he goes on to say, to those eternal life, verse 7, and again, this is one of Paul's, at least the way that we have Paul's writings, long sentences. Paul tends to give us long sentences sometimes. That eternal life is to those who will, by continuing to do good, will seek, what are you seeking? Glory, honor, immortality. And maybe that's the first thing we should always look at in ourselves. What is our goal in life? What is our goal? We have goal up here, you know, for example, of 6 baptisms, right? And that's good. We where we're going, that it's good to have a goal of what we want to do. We have a goal maybe to be at every service of the church. We have a goal to live faithfully unto death, right? But do we seek? What are we seeking above all else? What?
Heaven.
Heaven, yes, definitely. That's what we seek. That's what we want, right? And I think that goes into the last part of verse 7 there. Glory, honor, and immortality, right? We're seeking heaven. And as we seek that, it's what we should go after. James? Well, you got to watch out if you're doing this kind of stuff, you know? All right. But, there's a but there in verse 8. But to those who seek are self-seeking and do not obey the truth in doing good and the truth, but obey unrighteousness, obey unrighteousness, obey indignation, obey wrath, obey tribulation, obey anguish, right? What are we obeying? You know, we want to make sure that we're not, first of all, no, we're not self-seeking. What would it mean for us, for someone to be self-seeking as opposed to walking righteously?
Self-seekers might be ones that want to do it for prestige or authority or money or fill in the blank.
It's all about me, right,
it's
Dad?
It's all about me. And
yeah.
I want to make sure everybody knows I'm in charge.
Mm.
Things like that.
That's right.
That's how a lot of, in my opinion, denominations started, is because of people that are selfish, because they want to teach a certain way so that they can have people that follow them instead of Christ.
That's good. Good thought. Good thought. And then, of course, he says, and do not obey the truth. This is emphasized throughout all of the New Testament, probably all the Old Testament, too, all the Bible, that we should obey the truth. What is the truth?
God's Word.
God's Word. I think that really brings it back down specifically, doesn't it? We should obey God's truth.
I just had a thought going back on verse 6. I don't want to fill it.
No, that's okay. Go ahead.
Your thought there.
That's okay.
I think it's important there in verse 7. I said 6, but I meant 7. I think it's important in verse 7 to understand the time frame for which we are to be seeking these things, right? Because if I'm seeking glory and honor and immortality at the present time, then I'm going to get my reward for that, perhaps in the present time. But if I'm seeking those in eternity, then I'll be rewarded accordingly, right? You know, we want to be glorified with God when He calls His holy angels and all of His servants of all mankind to spend eternity with Him. That's when we want to be glorified. We don't want to be honored necessarily now. You know, in the original sin of mankind, right? Satan told Eve that if she would eat that apple, she would be like God. She'd be like God. And maybe some pride sunk in that, and maybe she wanted that to some measure, right? We are that way ourselves, right? Pride causes us to want things that are unlawful or ungodly. But if we're seeking that in an eternal sense, then certainly that aligns us with God's expectations.
Okay, good. It's what we are seeking. And you're right, it's not about seeking glory and honor for ourselves.
Not in the present age, at least.
That's what I mean. We want it eternally. That's right,
yes.
What you said.
Yes.
That's immortality. We want it eternally.
Certainly.
But we live, maybe we could say we live humbly now to seek that then. Very good. And again, it's all about what, going back to verse 8, it's all about what we will obey. Of course, we've talked about this before, but unrighteousness means not right with God. If we're seeking things that are not right with God, obviously, where is that going to lead us? Away from God, right? That's going to lead us away from God. I can't imagine seeking God's wrath, you know, that just sounds so contrary to what makes any kind of sense at all. But people do. And of course, it ends in verse, last part of verse 8, the end of the page there. On every soul of man who does evil, of the Jew first and also to the Greek. Every soul who does evil. And I was thinking about this as we get into, we won't get there tonight probably, but in chapter 3, where we one of the passages we know in Romans 3:23, the wages of sin is death, right? Well, that's Romans 6 actually, 23. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, right? And that's really a lot of what Paul is talking to the people about, that they need to realize that if they're not walking with God, they're walking away from God. That sin, that we all sin. We all are sinners that need God's forgiveness. Whether we're Jew or whether we're Gentile, it doesn't matter where we've come from, but it matters to where we are going and what we are seeking, what we're obeying, right? What we're obeying in Him. And Paul will talk about this through much of Romans, as far as this is concerned, in different ways. If you turn your page over, we go on to verse 10. I don't think I skipped a verse. I didn't even think about that. Okay, let me open my Bible real quick. Someone open your Bible.
Nine's at the bottom of the other page.
What's that?
Nine's at the bottom of the other page.
On every soul a man does evil? I just missed.
Well, it says tribulation
and anguish. Start there at the end of eight.
Oh, there it is, nine. Okay, thank you. Just missaw it. Okay, verse 10 at the top of the back page. Okay, but, again, he's talking about does evil. Remember the other time he talked about doing good, but those that do evil. But here he's talking about those that seek evil. And verse 10 is but the other way. But glory, honor, and peace to everyone who works what is good, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. In other words, it's our choice. What are we going to choose? What are we going to obey? In some ways, these questions come at us every day. What are you going to choose? We have to make choices every day. Do we take time to read the Word every day? Do we take time to pray every day? Do we choose to serve others every day? Or do we choose, I don't have time to do that today? Or I don't feel like it today. You know, sometimes we don't. Sometimes our health isn't good. We don't feel good. We don't feel like doing anything sometimes, right? But we have to realize that we have a choice to do what is evil or to do what is good. And one of the things that verse 11 says, and you see my extra highlight there, for there is no partiality with God. Now, we've heard that before. We've read that before, right? If you know, God wants all men everywhere to be saved. When I read this passage, that's the quote that came to my mind. God wants all men everywhere to be saved. Jesus died on the cross for everybody, right? God doesn't care if you're a Jew, if you're a Greek, if you're black, if you're white, if you're from the east or from the west or from, you know, whatever. God doesn't care. What he does care about is what we do. Are we going to obey him? Are we going to follow him and his word? Or are we going to choose to do it our own way? We always have that choice. Verse 12.
His partiality extends to the limits of the things that we can control, right? All those things that you mentioned, right? I mean, the color of your skin or where you're from and all that, we have absolutely no control over. Can't do anything about it. Can't change it.
That's right.
God has no partiality with that. But he is partial as to, you know, whether we will follow him or follow Satan.
Oh, of course.
Those things with certainty.
Of course.
He is partial to obedience.
Well, we know that, for example, the called out are those, God calls all people,
mm-hmm.
but the called out are those that follow, answer his call.
Right.
And we're told, of course, he's talking about those that wrath is reserved for them, and, you know, reward is reserved for those that obey and follow him. And so, again, it comes back to that choice issue. God chooses us all, but what are we going to do about choosing him? Good thoughts. Anyone else through verse 11 before I go on? I don't want to leave anybody with thoughts or questions here. Okay, verse 12. Let's read 12 and 13. For as many as have sinned without law will also perish without law. And as many have sinned in the law will be judged by the law. For not the hearers of the law are just in the sight of God, but the doers of the law will be justified. So as many... Again, he's talking about who's responsible for their sins. Those that sin without the law would be who? Gentiles, right? Jews. I mean, Gentiles are not Jews. Those that are not been following the old law. And as many of us sinned in the law. So inside, outside of the law, inside the law. It doesn't matter anymore if you sin. It's what, you know, will be judged by, like in verse 12, those that sin without will perish without law. As many have sinned in the law are judged by the law because the law condemns them for their sins, right? we're not the hearers. It's not just a matter, and here's something that I think we can really apply to us also. It's not just a matter of hearing the word of God, the law are just in the sight of God, but the doers will be justified. The book of James talks about this all the time, right? It's not just a matter of saying, I believe, but we must believe and do what God says. As we remember that the word faith, the idea of faith, is that faith always includes obedience. It's not a matter of just saying, yes, God, I believe that's the right thing, but yes, God, that's the right thing, and I'm going to do it. Faith and obedience go together. Verse 14, for when Gentiles who do not have the law by nature do the things in the law, although not having the law, are a law unto themselves. Now, it's really easy here, and real easy here to get confused with what Paul, if we're not careful, to get confused with what Paul is saying here. He talks about this in the law and out of the law. He talks about circumcision and uncircumcision as we go through this. But he uses all of it, I believe, to help us to understand that it's not the law or out of the law. It's not circumcision or out of circumcision or not circumcised, but those that do what God says for us to do and be what he calls us to do. See, the Jews thought, we're going to get to circumcision in a little bit, but I want to talk about it right now because I think it relates to this. The Jews, many of the Jews thought that if the men were circumcised on the eighth day, that automatically put them in a good relationship with God. Now, can an 8-day-old child know how to obey God?
Nope.
No. I think this is where the idea of infant baptism is so foreign to the Word of God. The Bible says that we must believe and be baptized to be saved. So if a child can't even believe, can't even think, I mean, you tell me if an eight-day-old child can be believing. And someone says, well, we can believe for them. No, we can't. We're each responsible for our own relationship with God. And so we need to sect, and that's what the Jews felt here, because God told Abraham, started with Abraham, and then of course it was put into the law by Noah about circumcision. That was a part of their responsibility, and it was. But Paul Paul teaches, that got him in a lot of trouble as he went out teaching the gospel. The Jews got really mad at him because he said, we don't need to be circumcised. You don't need to circumcise those Gentiles and so on. Because circumcision was no longer under the old law, first of all, and no longer that way. So as we look at this, Paul is saying, it doesn't, and he goes into quite a bit of detail here, talking about if you're in the law or out of the law, if you're circumcised or uncircumcised, that's not what matters. God is not partial, remember? God wants all people to be saved. So let's go back to verse 14. For Gentiles who do not have the law by nature do the things in the law, although not having the law are a law to themselves. Were there ever any people in the Bible that you know of that were faithful to God that were probably not ever under the law?
Abraham,
that's a great one to start with, right? Because he didn't have the law at all there yet, did he?
Job,
that's the one I was thinking about.
Yeah.
And of course, the fathers before that time too, Noah, we could go Noah and go that way too, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and so on. So there were people before the time of circumcision, before the time of the law, that were right before God and pleasing to God.
Yeah, the distinction here is certainly not the law of Christ, it's the law of Moses compared to those who were contemporary in their time frame with that,
right,
that same law. I mean, in Acts chapter 17, I think it is, when Paul went to Mars.
nearly all the time when the New Testament, especially Paul here, talking about the law,
yes,
it's referring back to the Old Testament law.
Yeah.
Okay. Our law, we show the work. Okay. Verse 15 goes on to say, our law unto themselves, verse 14, who show the work of the law written in their hearts. What, do you remember what it says in Corinthians about where we're no longer written on tablets of stone, but in our hearts? The law is written on our hearts, not on tablets of stone. Their conscience also bearing witness, and between themselves, their thoughts are accusing or else accusing them. This is a long paraphrase. I have to go back, remember where it started, this paraphrase. I see a paraphrase. Just looking back, I just thought about it. I don't see it. Maybe I deleted it as I was making changes here. I don't mean to do that. Okay, we got a long sentence again. I'm going to read 15 and 16 together. Who show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and between themselves their thoughts accusing or else excusing them, in the day when God will judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. Not according to what? Not according to law, but according to the gospel of Jesus Christ. The message of Jesus Christ. That's where the judging is going to take place. And those Gentiles, those that did the right thing before Christ, they still have to come to Christ. They still need to know Christ. Remember, because what we've been talking about is that they were a law unto themselves, but they are no longer. They are under the call of God through Jesus Christ. All men need to be saved through Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but through me. Just think about verse 16. You know, God will judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ. Can we keep secrets from God?
Nope.
Does God know our every thought, our every feeling, our every struggle? We don't have to say it out loud. We don't have to do it out loud. God knows good and bad in our minds and in our hearts. You might say, I didn't say that bad word. You know, you stop yourself if you're angry or something. I didn't get angry out loud. Have you ever been angry with someone inside and never didn't say it outside? God knows. Did you ever pray for someone in your mind or in your heart? God hears. God knows. I would say half of my prayers or more are just in my mind to God. I do pray out loud sometimes too, but a lot of my prayers are, you know, in my mind and thought, knowing that God hears my prayers. God hears my prayers.
I was reminded of an example, 2 Kings chapter 6, I think it is.
Okay.
I'm trying to get there. Maybe not 6. I'll look at that. Yeah, it's 2 Kings 6. It's about the king of Syria. He's making war against Israel. It says in verse 8, he says he took counsel with his servants. And he's saying, my king will be in such and such a place. And the man of God, this is God's prophet, sent to the king of Israel, saying, beware that you do not pass this place, for the Syrians are coming down there. Then the king of Israel sent someone to the place in which the man of God had told him. Thus he warned him. He was watchful there, not just once or twice. So the king's assumption was he had a spy in the midst. Right in verse 11, he says, therefore the heart of the king of Syria was greatly troubled by this thing. And he called his servants and said to them, will you not show me which one of us is for the king of Israel? And one of his servants said, none, my lord, O king, but Elisha the prophet, who is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the words that you speak in your bedroom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The words you speak
how
in your
Elisha
bedroom.
Know that, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Elisha was told that by God.
Yeah.
Those things that he thought were secretive were not secretive.
I was just reading the story in Kings also about Nahum, the Syrian that came down and had to be dipped and so on, and he had gone through the process and finally did it, and he was healed, and he went back and he wanted to send money or gifts to Elisha, and Elisha said no, but his servant went back to that man and said, yes, I'll take them for you. He's going to take them for himself. Well, he came back to Elisha, and Elisha said, what have you done? You know, God had told Elisha what had taken place. And this guy thought he was doing it in secret. It's a challenge, isn't it? It's a challenge to be righteous on the inside and the outside all the time, too. To be right with God all the time. We want to be. And that's why we're thankful that when we're walking with God, that with Jesus Christ, that he will continually wash us from our sins when we try to walk with him and be right with him. But sometimes we really need to watch ourselves from the secrets of our hearts. Anything down through verse 16 that you'd like to comment on? Okay. This is the titles that you see here, like the Jews guilty as the Gentiles. This is the from the text that I was copying from, as in the New King James Bible. It says verse 17. Let's read 17. Let's read down 17 through 21. Indeed, you are called a Jew, and rest on the law, and make your boast in God, and know His will, and approve the things that are excellent, being instructed out of the law, and are confident that you yourselves are a guide to the blind, a light to those who are in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, having the form of knowledge and truth in the law. You therefore who teach another, do you not teach yourself? You who preach that a man should not steal, do you steal? And of course, as we continue on, he's going to talk more about that in the next page that we'll have here. But just think what he's talking to the Jews about here. I've often thought about this passage in relationship, and again, to us in the church, us that are trying to walk right with God. We want to be and strive to be a people of the Bible, some people that know the Word of God. And that's commendable. I think Paul would not be saying to the Jews here, this is not commendable that you don't know these things. You know his will. You approve the things that are excellent. Being instructed out of the law. Being instructed, we could put here, for us, out of the Bible, out of the New Testament. This is how we instruct. This is how we study. This is how we know to follow God's will. This is what and these things are good. Paul's not saying that they're not good, right? You are, verse 19, they're confident that you yourselves are a guide to the blind. Well, that's maybe getting more and a bit into the Pharisees here that he's talking about here. But we want to guide people to the knowledge of the truth, to what the Bible says. It's not a phrase in the Bible, but it's a phrase that has been coined about that we are in the Word of God, that we know the Word of God, you know, that we study the Word of God. And that's good. We don't want to do that, but we want a light to those who are in darkness. Do we need to be a light to those who are in darkness?
Yes.
We want to help people to know the truth of God, to bring them the light of Jesus. A teacher of babes. I suppose, I'm sure to young people we might say, having the form of knowledge and the truth of the law. You look good and you sound good. You know what church this reminds me of in the New Testament? The Ephesian church. In the book of Ephesians, they were a people of faith and of love. But by revelation, when revelation was written, what was the accusation against the Ephesian church? They had left their first love. They were doing all the right things, but they had left their first love. You see, that's what Paul is saying here to the Jews. You have a knowledge of the truth. You know, you have it all set up right for you. Therefore, who teach another, do you not teach yourself. Take your Bible and open up to Matthew chapter 7, if you would, please. And we've talked about this recently, but I think it's good for us to read it again here, starting in chapter 7, verse 1. Do not judge so that you will not be judged. For in the way you judge, you will be judged. By your standard of measure, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, and behold, the log is in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. You know, it's just so important that we strive to, and he's going to talk about it more as we go on, but like it says, verse 21, you who preach you should not steal, do you steal? Right? We don't have a right to preach about stealing if we're stealing. We don't have a right to cheat, to preach about, you should not cheat on your taxes. Or you should not cheat, you fill in the blank, okay? If you're doing that yourself. Do not speed if you're a speeder. Bible says that we should obey the laws of the land. New Testament does. I mean, we could go on and on, right? We have to make sure that we're doing what God calls us to do and God calls us to be. We can't just say the good things. What did Jesus say about the Pharisees? Do what they say and not what they do. You know? And let us not be, I don't like the term particularly, but pharisaical. Let us not be like that. Okay? Let us not be ones that tell someone to do something, then, but we do it ourselves anyway. It's a challenge because none of us are perfect. None of us are, and I think that's something that we should not be self-righteous, but God-righteous. What's the difference between self-righteous and God-righteous? How do we become righteous with God? Do things that God would have us to do. That's right.
Self-righteous is, I think I'm right, and so I'm good with that.
Right. It's not a matter of myself looking at me and saying I'm okay. Yeah. James says, yes, James. This James says. Go ahead, James.
Not me.
I know. I'm joking.
I think you're going to get to it, but that, you know, a self-righteous person might say, you know, God, you're pretty fortunate to have me, right? I'm quite a servant of yours. You're pretty lucky. But a God-righteous person would bow our heads and say, be merciful to me, a sinner, right? And we have that example in Scripture.
You can't wear humble buttons, right?
That's
you
right.
Can't, you can't say, look at me, I'm humble. See how humble I am? I've got a humble button.
Right.
You know, I'm living a humble life, right? No, I was thinking about in the book of James where it talks about that the word of God is we reflected. Mm-hmm. You know, we need to read the word of God. Don't forget what you read, it says, and go about. You read it and forget it? No, read it and do it.
Right.
That's what God is calling us to be
I
and
think
to
what
do.
What we tend to do is read it and then say, well, that person.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You need to do this, right?
Other people and not ourselves because we're not that bad.
Yes, sir.
In that chapter of Romans, when you go quite next week, you know, it tells the list of all the things that, you know, man has done. And it even says that we're okay with one another's sins. You know, it's okay to do that. Oh, yeah. You know, so.
Yeah, we have our sins that we, you know, say that's okay. That's what our world is doing, isn't it? Well, it's okay now to be homosexual. It's okay now to be living with a boy or man or woman before you get married, etc. you know.
That's not new, it's happening.
Oh, mine, that's not new, no.
The passage that you mentioned there out of James, he talks about someone that looks in the mirror, looks at themselves in the mirror, right, sees their reflection, and then turns around and doesn't remember what they looked like.
Forget.
Why they look, right? It did no good to even look. We can't be right with God without knowing the truth.
That's right.
But we can't just see it and then ignore it. It has to become a part of who we are.
Uh-huh. That kind of scares me sometimes when I look in the mirror, you know. I thought, man, am I really that old? You know, and we go on with life. We go on. So next time I would read the rest of chapter 2 and read on into chapter 3, if you would. I think it'll help you as we continue to go about in this study. Chapter 3, we get into some very familiar passages about sin and about righteousness also. So we'll get on into that direction as we continue on. Encourage you to do that. I'm going to kind of wait here for a moment for everybody else to get back in. It's raining. You ready to bring your umbrella? What? You asked about me laughing at myself in the mirror? Uh-huh.
She was just telling me about a song that she just heard on the radio.
Oh.
It was the Willie Nelson song.
Hard to be humble.
It's hard to be humble.
Oh.
You're perfect in every way.
Perfect in every way, yeah.
I hadn't heard that song in like decades. I heard it yesterday.
It's hard to be humble. Willie Nelson, that's a good one. Is he the one that, no, that's, is he, he's not the one that did, My Name is Sue, How About You? Who did that? Johnny Cash, that's right, Johnny Cash. Some of those good old-fashioned country songs, right? About the train, not train, but the Trailer House for Rent. I think that was Johnny Cash too, wasn't it? You know what I'm talking about? I'm not a big fan, but some of those songs stuck. I've never been really a big country fan, but some of those songs were kind of catchy. In case you, David Morris is with Stacy. He called me and said didn't have a chance to go see her, so he's going to go see her. And he said, can you find someone to teach my class? Can you find somebody to pick up Pearl? And then I called Jamie, and he was going to have Deborah pick up Pearl. Then Deborah got a call from her mom saying that there's not some problems or something, and so they were taking off down to see her. So that's where some of our folks are at tonight. You know, when we think about sin, I think sometimes it's really easy to take sin too lightly. We talk about it, that we know that we have all sinned, we all need to be forgiven through Jesus Christ. But our world is just so full of it. And it wants us, and Satan wants us so bad. And he's, you know, he's talking about, as we read in James, in Romans here, that your people sin, and they not only happy with sinning, but they want everybody else to sin. They want everybody else to be like them and to follow after them. And that's how Satan works. He doesn't work just by himself. He gets other people, those that are already his, working on it. And who does he want most?
Christians.
He wants Christians most, because he doesn't have us, but he wants us back. And so when we think about this, we need to honestly always look at ourselves and remember what it says, when it talks about worry in Matthew 6:33, he says, not to worry, right? But to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. The next verse says, for each day has enough trouble of its own. And so we need to seek him first every day. We need to seek him first every way that we can. and not to get caught up with what the world has tried to offer us. And if you need to buy through prayers or strengthening in any way to come to him to be strengthened so we could pray with you or for you, not because you say, I'm such a terrible sinner, for we all sin and fall short of the glory of God, but so that we can be strengthened each other and encourage one another. Won't you come to him now as together we stand and sing.
God is calling the prodigal, come without delay. Hear, O hear him calling, calling down for thee. Though you've wandered so far from his presence, come today. Hear his loving voice calling still.
Miss us. Let's remember Naomi Simmons and Dustin and Roe in our prayers, and Ken and Sandy White, Brooklyn's friend Morgan that has scoliosis and having severe pain from that. Kevin Shalver, and Blake, this is Blake and Jasmine DeMario's father. He has stage 4 colon cancer. Let's remember him in our prayers. Beth Bolin and family of the Cranes has breast cancer, and let's pray that maybe that she can have a good outcome from her treatment. Let's remember Sister Dorothy with her rehabilitation from her fall and her dehydration. Let's remember Stacy in her prayers with her rehabbing from her broken leg and the surgery that she's had on that. And as mentioned, Mike Porter and Pearl. Let's remember all these in our prayers. And let's remember our shut-ins, Rose Beatty and Catherine Wright and Evelyn Belt, Judy Mayberry, and Jack and Millie King. A happy birthday to Bob Crane. And let's remember the King's anniversary. Rose Simmons' birthday is the 16th. Deborah Pose is the 17th. And Luke Volkert's birthday is on the 28th. And our flyer from last week, and it'll probably be in this coming Lord's Day, will be there's a whole mess of gospel meetings and happenings going on. So there's a whole bunch of them. So let's look in there. And let's see if I get this right now. The potluck is another week off. It's going to be at the end of the month, right?
No, this fourth week.
That's when Brother
week from this coming
fourth
Sunday.
Week, that's when Brother Keno is going to come and speak. Then next, this coming Lord's Day will be the men's meeting. Do I have that? Or is that going to?
I think that's what we said.
Okay. It might be in the announcements next Lord's Day. Okay, let's see here if I got all.
I have a question about the men's meeting. Is it going to be right after services? Or are you guys looking at going to get something to eat and then having the men's meeting?
Should do it right after service.
Okay.
Skip lunch?
Get lunch? So are you saying skip lunch?
No, get lunch afterwards.
Okay, well, that'll be decided. That'll be decided by next Lord's Day. And then let's remember the Sasquatch sign-up sheet for the festival coming up in October. And we want to invite you back this Lord's Day at 9:30 for classes. The main preaching's at 10:30. The evening services are at 5, and our Wednesday evening services are at 6. And I've always said, if you're in our radio listening audience, if you have any questions, please call the church building, and you will have an answer, or maybe some answers to the questions that you have. Have I left anybody out? Is there any other announcements? If not, we're going to leave it to Brother Clayton.
Let us pray. This evening, Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you thanking you for the blessing of this day, allowing us to go about our day and return here to hear another part of your word. Lord, we're just praying that we can come and learn more about your will and what it is for us to do. Again, Father, Lord, we thank you for Brother Doug as he brings these lessons. And Father, we want to continue praying for all those, Lord, that's mentioned on our prayer list. And Father, Lord, I want to pray for all those that are traveling and just out visiting those that are shut in and just sick. Lord, we want to continue praying for all those that, all the kids that started back to school. Lord, just praying that you continue to watch over them and keep them in your care, and that they might go and learn some school things, Lord. Again, Father, Lord, I want to just thank you for your son, most of all, coming and dying for us all, that we might have that right to a tree of life. For it's in your son's name that we pray. Amen.
Amen.